Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. Coming up on today's podcast, we have an interview with Jeff Marks and Glenn Herring from the Joseph Jefferson Awards Committee, better known as the Jeff Awards. Also, we have an audio review of She Stoops to Conquer, and of course, Chicago's theater news. So sit back and relax, and get ready to talk some theater.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our special guests this week are two members of the Jeff Committee. Now, I get questions all the time of what the Jeff Committee is about and the different branches. So here to answer all your questions on that are Jeff Marks, who is the media and marketing chairman for the Jeff Committee, and he's the past chairman of the equity branch. We also have Glenn Herring, who is the chairman of the citation wing of the Jeff Committee. Say hello, Jeff.
Hello and welcome.
And Glenn.
Hello, this is Glenn Herring.
Great. Okay, Jeff, get us started now. What is the Jeff Committee?
The Jeff Committee was formed in 1968 to recognize excellence in Chicago area theater. It was originally started from an assignment from Actors Equity Association, the union of stage professional actors and stagehands, to find a way to recognize excellence. They had a committee that was formed, and they came up with a very ingenious way to recognize excellence. And from that beginning, 1968, almost 39 years ago, the Jeff Committee was formed and basically follows the same procedures.
So it is sort of the Tony Awards for Chicago.
It is. The Tony Awards, which is the Antoinette Perry Awards, Tony. We're the Joseph Jefferson Awards Committee, but referred to as the Jeff Awards. But it is a little different than the Tony Awards. The Tony Awards, very interestingly, is formed by and chosen by a group of people who sit around a very large table. And individuals, too, from each of the branches, like for the Producers Association, the Directors Association, Actors Equity, stagehands, all the various little things, they sit around a table, and they then make the determination of who the nominees are. That's not how we do it. We do it by a totally blind selection process of voting individually, not in consultation, among the members of the Jeff Committee who goes and sees these productions. We see many, many more productions than the Tony Awards people do. And I think that our procedure is very, very fair, blind voting, and generally seems to always find the excellence in Chicago theater.
Well, it's been my experience that the Jeff Committee does get it right. So there's two branches. So would you explain that and how many members? And
well, sure. First of all, the overall Jeff Committee has about 50 theater professionals involved in going to all of these productions and voting. Their backgrounds range from actors, directors. We have people who were on the originally founding board of Steppenwolf. We have professors of all the major theater departments. In the past, we've had, for example, theater critics. They were on the committee, would vote each night after they saw a production, and then turn around and write their theater reviews. For
example, Richard Christensen was one, wasn't
exactly.
He?
Richard Christensen was a member of the Jeff Committee, and many theater critics have done that. There are producers. We have one of our members is a famous Broadway producer, still producing here in Chicago and in New York. So it's just a wide variety of people who are active, involved, and knowledgeable in the theater arts.
Okay, and there are two divisions, wings.
There are. I'll talk for a moment about the equity wing, and I'll turn it over to Glenn to talk about the citation wing.
Okay.
The equity wing was the first of the categories that were actually founded by the Jeff Awards Committee, again, about 39 years ago. And that involves theaters that are operating under an actor's equity contract that want to be eligible for Jeff Awards consideration. And what I mean by a contract, it means that at least one of the actors are a member of Actors Equity and the stagehand is a member of Actors Equity. And then from there, there's a series of equity contracts that make it eligible. The the other criteria for getting eligible for your Jeff Awards or your production to be Jeff Awards eligible stems from having to have at least 18 performances during the run. So, for example, an Equity theater that is doing a show that only runs 9 performances is just not going to be Jeff Awards eligible. Once the show is eligible, which is a very easy criteria for Equity, then we then make arrangements to have people come out for opening night, and there is a combination. We'll talk about that in a second. But that's only the requirement, basically, for an Equity production. I'll let Glenn address the what makes a Citation Theater eligible.
On the Citations wing, we deal with Chicago theaters inside Chicago city limits who are not operating under an Actors Equity contract. These tend to be the smaller theaters, the storefront theaters, the not-for-profits. And in order to be eligible, they must show a track record of 2 years of producing shows, producing at least 2 shows a year. The purpose being this ties into the mission of the Jeff Committee, which Jeff spoke to, which I'd like to add to a little bit. Yes, we're compared to the Tony Awards. We're often called the Chicago version of the Tonys. But with the Tony Awards, they issue the nominations, they issue the awards, and everybody feels good. If a show is still running that time, it'll increase sales. The Jeff Committee is designed, and the members feel very strongly about this, to foster Chicago theater, and particularly excellence in Chicago theater. And for that reason, we do a lot more than just nominations and awards. We do recommendations, which are done after viewing the show on opening night, and the decision about whether a show is recommended or not comes out the next morning. Tony Awards doesn't do anything like that. And the reason for that is that we want to promptly and quickly bring attention to excellent work in Chicagoland theater while the show is running, so that audiences can check Jeff recommendations and see that we have judged elements of the show to
You're
be excellent.
You're to be congratulated for that, yes, because a lot of people take that, because here's these 5 experts. Is that the number?
Five members of the Jeff Committee, a few years ago we added 2 members from what we call the AT team, which is the artistic and technical team, which was sponsored by the League of Chicago Theaters. And it was at their suggestion to include on opening night only the voices of the actual working theater professionals to be participating in the decision on whether a show is recommended. So we sent 5 Jeff members and 2 AT team
members.
So
on the Citation branch, if I understand it right, you must be around 2 years. You have to have produced some shows.
2 shows a year.
2 shows a year.
For 2 years at least.
And do you have to be a non-for-profit necessarily? Or?
Yes.
So, okay. So there is a set of criteria. So you have to be around. You can't just put together a theater group and have the Jeff Committee come out.
Well, the theory is that for somebody to put together a one-shot show, to spend the time and effort to judge a one-shot show for a company that has no track record and it's not necessarily promised to be in existence doesn't do much for fostering the theater community in Chicago.
So it stays within your purpose of taking groups that are already established and giving them the recognition.
That have shown their seriousness by working for 2 years. And you have to realize, too, there's a lot more involved than just audience recognition. This is particularly true on the Citation side, but it's also true on the nonprofit Equity side. A lot of these theaters depend on grants and donations. And in applying for grants and donations, they often have to demonstrate recognition of their artistic worth.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
And okay. So Jeff recommendations are coveted by the theater companies, the not-for-profit theater companies who depend on donations and grants, to show artistic worth when applying for their grants. Nominations for awards or citations show artistic worth. And, of course, receiving an award, a citation or an Equity award from the Jeff Committee is further proof of artistic worth. And it's very, very important to them in obtaining their grants and donations. So that's part of the Jeff Committee's mission of fostering theater and particularly excellence in Chicago theater.
See, a lot of people aren't aware of that. They thought it was strictly about awards, but it's about really fostering it.
I think awards is maybe not even the majority of it, if you really look at the whole picture. Recommendations and nominations are also very, very important to these theater companies.
So the first step is the committee comes out opening night, and they see the show. And this is all blind voting?
Yes. Each individual judge, using a list of categories of about 18 to 20 categories, and believe me, the categories are would be obscure to the normal theater goer who wouldn't even be paying attention to the incidental music that's going on in the background or the lighting design or the sound design. But we're looking at all those things. And then each of the seven judges independently votes by sending by making a phone call into a hotline that we have. And a person then tallies up the totals of the votes from that night. And then based upon a formula, it's a little different from equity than for citations, but based upon a formula, which you can see on the Jeff Awards website at jeffawards.org, the show then becomes Jeff recommended. So as Glenn was saying, you become eligible for the consideration. Then if after opening night there is sufficient votes to recognize at least one element of excellence based upon a formula, then the show gets Jeff recommended. You're notified the next day, if you're the theater, that your show has been Jeff recommended. You do not know, and we do not know, what elements or elements caught the eye and the attention of the vote that caused it to be Jeff recommended. And then at that point, over the rest of the course of the run of that show, the rest of the Jeff committee then goes, sees that production, and also votes independently.
And they don't know why it was recommended. They just know it was recommended.
That's correct. They have no
idea. That's a good formula.
Right.
So they're not steered like to look at an actor or to look at the lighting or choreography. Or
no, this is, as a matter of fact, the tabulators of the votes from opening night keep them in strict confidence. No other Jeff committee member or officer of the committee knows who voted how, or even how many votes were achieved for any particular element of the show. So that's the integrity and the confidentiality of the voting process is extremely important to the committee.
Wow, that's you're to be commended for that, because with anything dealing with people and egos, and there's 50 people involved, no one has ever even ventured a thought about what happened on that night. The process is that pure. That's good.
As the citations wing chair, on the morning after a non-equity show that's Jeff eligible has opened, I get the call from the opening night tabulator to inform me if a show has been recommended or not, so that I can notify the theater and set a couple of other processes in motion. I am not told what the vote is, what elements were voted as excellent, or who voted how. And even as the wing chair, I don't know that information.
All right, since you told me earlier that it was 18 performances is one of the minimum number that they needed in order to be eligible, does that mean the committee has to come, the rest of the committee has to come within that 18 dates?
No. There has to be a minimum number of performances. But if there are 24 performances or 30 performances, the committee can see it at any time during the run. There is a cutoff. What is it, 90 days?
90 days. So, for example, like the Second City will run for 4 or 5 months. We just have to see it within the first 90 days. But shows that certainly only have 18 performances, yes, we have to see it within those 18.
You have to get them into the 18. Okay.
And I want to mention this 18-performance requirement. A lot of the theaters think it's sort of an arbitrary thing. Well, we only have 16. Why aren't we Jeff eligible? But there's a very simple explanation for that. Over time, it's been determined that for 45 members of the committee to get to see a show, and with all the shows that they have to see, if a show doesn't run at least 18 performances over 3 weeks, we can't all get to it. And so it's a simple logistical matter of having enough performances so that the members can get to see the show.
Well, that makes sense, because I have problems even getting to review the shows. If they're only like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there's only so many. You can only go one a night at 8 o'clock. So I can understand it. So that's just not an arbitrary rule.
It's not an arbitrary rule. And over the 39 years, we've discovered that that's about the minimum. We judge well over 250 openings a year. So you can see how many shows members have to go see.
Now that begs the question: Does everybody have to see every show? Every member of the Jeff committee have to see every show that is Jeff recommended?
There is a certain minimum percentage of shows that a Jeff committee member has to see to remain on the Jeff committee. It is a high percentage, and that's on the Jeff Awards website. I think the more interesting question, which leads me to something I know that you wanted to talk about, was how does working actors, working directors be able to remain on the Jeff committee and still see all the productions? And we have instituted, for the benefit of certain members a rotation in which you can agree for a short time period to for a season to be only on the equity wing. So you're only seeing the equity productions or only seeing the citations productions. And that allows you to be able to be in a show, to go out of town and perform.
You know, have a life, huh?
Well, not necessarily have a life, but at least, you know, because we're in the arts and in the theater, there are times when we just have to be, you know, 2 months on tour or whatever. So, you know, this takes into account those things. But yes, there is a minimum percentage, but there are, I would say, a huge percentage of the committee actually does see every production.
There are members who have been members for years who have never missed a production. It's sort of a badge of honor. So,
wow.
So and to see all of the recommended shows, and it's been increasing over the years, but right now I think you're probably close to about 170 shows recommended each year. That means that members who see all the shows and pride themselves on seeing all the shows have seen 170 performances. So you divide that by 52 weeks and you see how often they go to the theater.
Well, I don't think I've ever been to a production in Chicago where there hasn't been at least a couple of Jeff committee members, assuming the show was Jeff recommended. Yeah, that's terrific.
So we the phone call then comes into the theater the next morning, and we have the Jeff recommendation, and Glenn will call the citation chairs or citation artistic directors and let them know that they're Jeff Awards recommended. That means that they are allowed to immediately publicize the fact that they have been Jeff Awards recommended. There's posters that they put up. They put it on their website. Those of you who subscribe to theater mailing lists, you probably will get an email within a day or two talking about the show being Jeff Award recommended, which again means that there was at least one element of that was deemed outstanding by the opening night selection process. Likewise, the equity theaters also get notified. You'll see on the marquees Jeff Award or Jeff recommended. That's what it means. You'll see it in the newspaper articles. You can also go to the Jeff Awards website and you'll see which shows are Jeff recommended. In fact, theaterinchicago.com also lists what shows are Jeff recommended.
That makes good sense. Yeah, so right away, and so already they're getting a benefit. Even if they only get Jeff recommended, that's major.
It is actually a major thing, particularly for the Citation Theaters, and as Glenn was mentioning, it is very important for theater companies to have the Jeff recommendation, then eventually Jeff nomination, maybe Jeff awards, in their seeking of money, grant money, for purposes of art, of playwrights who decide which theater am I going to send my play to for workshopping or performing. They want to see how have you been recognized for your excellence. We get requests all the time from theater companies saying, could you give us a letter advising us of our Jeff recommendations and Jeff nominations, Jeff awards for the year, because we are seeking money from so-and-so foundation, so-and-so governmental entity. It's very, very common, very important to get to the level of just getting Jeff recommended.
To expand a little bit on that, theaters that have a good history of Jeff recommendations or nominations and awards will also attract the higher quality talent, and actors, scenic designers, lighting designers, directors, as you alluded to. So the Jeff recommendation is important in a myriad of ways, and we're quite aware of that. We consider that part of our mission,
and I think it's a valid mission. Okay, so now a show has been Jeff recommended, and the committee's coming out. What's the next step?
Well, let me take this. They will see the show during the course of the run. They will fill out a ballot, which is very similar to the opening night ballot. Has all the same categories on there. There's also a category for other, because sometimes a show will have something a little bit unusual, an element. The other categories often used for items like fight choreography or puppet design, if puppets are involved.
Wigs.
Dramaturgy, wig design can be important in certain types of shows. But the members will go see it before it closes. They have a deadline by which to submit their ballots, which they do by mail or fax or email. Those all go to the statisticians. We have one statistician for the citations wing and one statistician for the equity wing. Those statisticians are also under confidentiality obligations. So they tabulate all the votes. And then when the season ends, and we've seen all the shows in the season, and the citation season happens to end on March 31st.
So it just ended,
yes. Equity season ends in July 31st. After the season ends on March 31st, we have a fairly short deadline for members to get their ballots in. And then around the middle of April or so, we will get the results of the balloting on a percentage basis. Now, this is important, too. Many theaters call me and worry that they say, well, not everybody on the committee saw my show. Is it going to hurt us? And the point is, it's not going to hurt them because the tabulating is done on the basis of a percentage of votes versus the percentage of people who've seen the show. So it's not based on raw total number of votes, but as a factor.
That's good. That's important to know. That's,
sure.
I was not aware of that.
So if 30 Jeff members see a show and 15 of them vote for a particular actor, for example, that means that actor got a 50%. If 40 saw the show and 15 voted for the actor, well, then he would have less than 50%. You see, that's the way it goes. So no show is hurt by the number, total number of Jeff members that have actually seen it. Those tabulations are done on a spreadsheet, and then the ballot committee meets to determine the nomination. Now, I'm speaking here specifically about the citation side. A ballot committee will get together, and the statistician will present the totals blind. So if there's a percentage for a principal performance, we don't know the name of the actor or the role, just the percentages. Now, where we diverge on the equity side, with the exception of, I think, new play or new adaptation.
Both of those.
There's only one award recipient on the equity side.
If four or five get nominated, there's one person gets the award.
Right. Well, we'll get to that procedure, but... gotten a little ahead of myself.
Right.
What we'll do at the ballot committee is look at the percentage, find an appropriate cutoff, and determine the number of nominees in that category. After that determination is made, then the statistician, it's all set, done, carved in marble. The statistician then tells us who is nominated for what. That's when we find out. Those nominations are then posted on the website, publicized in the
media.
About
what time, if your cutoff is March 31st, is it the end of April, or is there a...
My goal this year, because I'm overseeing this process, my goal, and it's tight, but my goal is to have the nominations out on May 1st, but it might not be until a couple of days into May. But there's a lot of work that goes.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, if a show opens on the 30th of March, you know, you got to give people time to see
right.
it and get their ballots in. The ballot committee's got to meet, you know. There's a few weeks in time involved, but we put ourselves under the gun. Then, once the nominees are decided and publicized, then we prepare what's called a final ballot. And that's a ballot that's prepared listing only the nominees and the shows and all that. Each Jeff member gets one of those ballots, and then on a short deadline of roughly 10 days or so, they have to vote on those ballots. And they're allowed, if they've seen all five nominees, they could vote for all five nominees.
They have to have seen them in order to have a vote.
They cannot vote if they haven't seen them. They cannot vote if they haven't seen a particular production. They can't vote for that production. And if they haven't seen enough of the nominees in a certain category, they can't even vote in the category. So there is an attendance requirement for the voting. Once those votes are all assembled again, then we tabulate those. And this is where we diverge from the equity wing. The citations are considered to be non-competitive, which means we can have one, two, three, or even more citations recipients in a category. So if the balloting reveals that the top three vote getters in a category got roughly equal or equivalent number percentage of votes, then we could give three awards. That's determined ultimately by another a ballot committee.
Because it's not about winning, it's about recognizing.
It's about recognizing excellence. And there's no reason to say that three actors couldn't have been excellent, you know, as opposed to just one in a category, or three set designs couldn't have been excellent as opposed to one. So you've probably seen, sometimes we have one winner, sometimes we have, or I should say recipient, we don't use the word winner in the non-competitive.
I think that's valid. I know some people don't agree with that, but because if it's consistent with your mission.
Yes. It's to recognize excellence, and if there's multiple examples of excellence, we'll recognize them all.
Now, as to the equity wing, during the process when they're closing the ballots and tabulating the percentages, it's generally five nominees in each category. If there is a statistical tie between 5 and 6, we'll expand the category out to 6 nominees. When the nominees are then revealed, we have weighted ballots for equity, meaning, for example, if you've seen all 5 productions of all the nominees in one particular category, you have 5 votes. You can choose to give all your 5 votes to one nominee. You can spread it between 2 because you think they're both excellent, but you have a weighted ballot. At the then the votes are tabulated, and the top of vote getter is the Jeff Award recipient. The only categories that are possible multi-winners, I should winners, recipients, are the new work and new adaptation categories. That can have more than one recipient. And we look by the total number of votes and see a clear cutoff as to where we should stop the award.
So just out of clarification, if you saw 3 of the shows,
you would have 3 votes, and you can only vote for the 3. You know, so
yeah, you can only vote for the 3.
Right.
Well, that's fair because it keeps an integrity of that. So obviously, if members try and see as many shows as possible, that therefore they have much more of a say, and everyone likes to have their say. So that's valid.
I think that you can kind of realize that by looking at how this is done, the cream does rise to the top, both in who are the nominees and who are the ultimate recipients. Because of the number of people voting, number of votes available, it really becomes a very clear statistical decision as to who is the recipient and who is the award recipients.
Now, Glenn, on the citation wing, your awards are coming up in June, isn't that correct?
That's correct. Our season ended March 31st. We hope to post the nominees the 1st of May or soon thereafter, and then the citation ceremony itself is going to be on Monday, June 11th.
Monday, June 11th.
At the Park West, where it's been for the last few years. It's always a festive and
celebratory
event. Oh, sure.
Several of them. It's fun. Yeah.
And we expect to have another exciting event again this year. The attendance has been increasing year by year, and we have a good time. And it's a chance for the community to get together under one roof on a Monday night when nobody's performing and get to see each other, socialize with each other, and celebrate, you know, the wonderful theater that we have here in Chicago. June 11th at the Park West.
At the Park West.
And tickets are available, will be available after when the nominees are announced at the same time. Tickets will be available. Instructions for purchasing tickets will be on the website. They can be done by mail, or they can be ordered over the internet with a credit card. And the price is $30 for a ticket. And the price is $5 more if you wait and buy it at the door at the event.
Great. All right, Jeff. The equity branch has different deadlines, and the award is in November.
It's either the first week of November or last week of October. This particular coming year will be October 29th, and that will be at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts. This last year we were in the loop at the Reskin Theater, and we'll go back and forth between different venues. We're trying to accomplish touching all of the areas of the Chicagoland Professional Equity Theater. I should mention, Glenn mentioned before that the area of the citations eligibility is within the city of Chicago.
Yeah, that's the other thing that other people are asking, because where geographically you draw the line.
I'll make the test for the citations is within city limits. We do have one exception, and that is a theater that is located not far outside city limits, but they were already being judged when that restriction was voted on and imposed at the Jeff Committee, so we gave them a grandfather exception.
Talk about Circle Theater?
Circle Theater in Forest Park. But they're the only one outside city limits, but we were already judging them when that restriction was put in place.
The equity geographical area is 30 miles from the center of State and Madison Street in downtown Chicago. So we encompass theaters going as far east as Theater at the Center in Munster. We go far west as Drury Lane, Oakbrook. We go as far north as Marriott Theater in Lincolnshire. So 30 miles.
30 miles. And how did you arrive at that? Just you had to cut it off somewhere.
I think at the time when we were talking about when theaters were up and running, going back now 35, almost 40 years ago, the there were Drury Lane North, Drury Lane West, there was Drury Lane South, Evergreen Park, and Candlelight. And basically, I think they were looking to encompass those outer ring theaters, and they came up with 30 miles. You know, Drury Lane North is now Marriott. Drury Lane South, which was Evergreen Park, that's gone. And Drury Lane Oak Brook is still around and doing excellent work.
And there's also a very simple logistical thing, too. Some people say, well, why don't you go past 30 miles? The point is that the time commitment made by Jeff members to see shows and travel to shows is enormous. And to ask them to start going 40, 50 miles from the city to look at shows is just makes it impossible logistically.
Yeah. And you got it. You got to cut it off somewhere. Yeah. But
it's not arbitrary.
It's not arbitrary. And now how many theaters are would you think are – in the Equity branch and the Citation branch, roughly?
Well, it's hard to say. Last year, I believe we had 59 different producing entities were judged on the Citations wing side, 59 of them. But they can come and go. Now, with Equity, it's even harder to give a number because sometimes a corporation is set up to just do one sit-down production, and if they're operating under an Equity contract – like, for example,
Wicked Chicago
or Spelling Bee Chicago. Those are separate corporations set up, and they run just that production. So they're not – they've never produced one before. They probably aren't going to produce one after. So they can come and go, you know. But you can speak to how many you have.
I believe that last year we had 51 producing companies that we sent people to opening night for. And I think there were – of all of those – 51 companies, they had some of them had four shows, you know, over the course of the season, but we had 92 recommended productions from opening night that required further judging from the Jeff Committee over the course of that. And from those numbers, we ended up with 155 total Jeff Award nominees in 28 categories just for the Equity season.
Just for the Equity.
And I can mention now, I do have the raw totals for the Citation season just ended. Okay. We judged 127 opening nights. Of those, 55 were recommended by the opening night judges. If you're interested in percentages,
half,
it's 43.3% of the opening nights judged by the committee ended up being Jeff recommended on the Citations wing.
The Equity wing probably is about 60-something percent.
About 60%.
66%, I would say. Somewhere around there.
So it's roughly right around half.
Well, traditionally, looking at the statistics in the past, generally it's been about 37% of the citations openings were ended up being recommended. But for the last couple of years, it's drifted above 40%. I don't think that the Jeff members are getting soft in their judging. I think what's happening is that the bar has been raised year by year in Chicago, and you're getting such more and more excellent work every year.
Okay. In the interest of time, I only have a couple of questions. One is, you got it doesn't make any difference if two or three companies are doing the same show. How does that factor in?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't happen that often. Sometimes you'll see the same script performed in a season by two different companies. I had an interesting experience once. There were simultaneous productions of a show, of a script, one on the Equity side and one on the non-Equity side. And so I thought to myself, you know, this is a good way for me to really compare. So I saw them on consecutive nights. I said, that way I'll have it fresh in my mind, and I can look and see how a non-Equity citations company handles the script and how an Equity company handles the script.
One of them was Lion in the Winter.
That was the one I was thinking of.
I saw them both the same day, you know, and I thought the Citation one was better than the than the Equity one.
that we can't comment on.
I know, and I wouldn't ask you to.
Well, you know, there's a couple of things I want to say. I know you have some questions.
Okay, go ahead. Now,
people often compare Jeff recommendations to the consensus of the theater press or the theater critics. And there's one really important difference between what a media theater critic is looking at and what the Jeff Committee is looking at. Unless it's a brand new script, a world premiere, we do not judge the material. We don't comment on it. We do not say it's a good script or a bad script. However, a theater critic has the obligation to inform their readership if they think it's a good script or not, whether it's a world premiere or not. If they think this is a lousy script and it's not worth seeing, They may tell that to their readers. The Jeff Committee, unless it's a world premiere, we do not look at the script, so we judge only the production.
That's important to
know.
So
we may see some excellent acting, some excellent set design, some excellent choreography or whatever in the service of a terrible script, but we do not hold the script against the production, and so we will sometimes recommend a show that the critics are universally panning because they don't like the script. You see what I'm saying?
Thank you, yes. And I've often thought that, but I wasn't aware of that, and that's valid. Jeff, you have some.
Well, we want to make sure we cover everything. Sure, you and I have often talked that we're looking for things that are excellent in the production, unrelated to the overall concept of a theater critic deciding whether or not their audience should go and see a production. We're looking for what is excellent, and there may be just the most outstanding lighting design that you can possibly imagine, and every theater critic in town may not like it, but the lighting design really is so truly outstanding and excellent that it deserves recognition, and you may get all 7 opening night judges all voting for the lighting design because they're looking for these individual categories, and the show gets recommended. So it's two different things that we're looking at that a theater critic is looking at versus what the Jeff Awards Committee is looking at.
And that's important for people to know. My last question is, are these numbers, who voted for what and so forth, is that ever made public?
You mean
even
the percentages?
Afterwards?
No.
No, they're not. They're known to the ballot committee,
okay,
in terms of percentages. But the ballot committee to decide who the nominees are, and in the case of citations, the ballot committee to decide who the recipients are of the Jeff Awards, will know the percentages. But they will not know who they gave it to until after the decision was made.
Okay,
and then nobody goes back, and those numbers are never opened up. And I always have the job of explaining. Sometimes theater companies will call me and say, we weren't recommended. Why not? Can you give us some feedback? It might be helpful to us. And I say, I'd love to be helpful to you, but to preserve the integrity of the voting process, I don't know who voted for what, and we're not allowed to comment to the theater companies about their productions.
So the lesson is just do good work and keep getting good at your craft. Well, that's great, because otherwise, there wouldn't be any integrity to it. And there's always those rumors sometimes I've heard about the Tonys in New York when you have a committee sitting around, that certain people have to be taken care of. We've all heard that. But this is impossible with the Jeff committee.
Even the Jeff opening night judges, most of the time, when I'm judging an opening night, there'll be 5 of us. We'll chat, greet each other before the show. When the show is over, we go our separate ways without a word. We do not compare notes. We do not want to affect each other's voting.
The other thing I want to mention to your listening audience is that the Jeff Awards website contains a history of Jeff Award nominees, recipients, etc. So you should always take a look at jeffawards.org.
This has been great. Is there any final comments?
I just want to mention also, we've been talking here about all this. It's hard to remember to hear it orally. But also on jeffawards.org, you will find our voting procedures, our opening night balloting formulas, our mission, eligibility requirements for theaters. It's all there if you want to explore it further and you don't remember all the words you've heard in this interview.
Thank you. This has been really informative. And I thought I knew what you guys are about, but I learned a lot today. And folks, just remember that if a show's Jeff recommended, go see it. And remember also, every week, go see a play. Thank you for listening.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another exuberant episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of April 9th, 2007. The Broadway hit Jersey Boys will be adding 14 weeks to its Chicago engagement. Due to overwhelming demand, Broadway in Chicago and Theater Dreams have announced that Jersey Boys will be adding on an additional 14 weeks of performances, extending their engagement here in Chicago to a full 6 months. Jersey Boys is the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and had won 4 2006 Tony Awards, including Best Musical for that year. The cast has yet to be announced for this production, but tickets for the new performances will be going on sale today. The show will now be running from October through January and will surely be a big hit here in Chicago. Be sure you get your tickets today. Emerald City Theater Company has announced their 2007-2008 season, and this will be their 12th season with a very exciting lineup for the family. Opening up in September will be How I Became a Pirate. Arrgh. And following that in December will be Frosty, a perfect holiday treat. Opening up in January of next year will be A Fairy Tale Life, blending together many characters from your favorite fairy tales. The children's book classic James and the Giant Peach will be opening up in February, and to close it off, Disney's Aladdin will open up in May. And this will, of course, include all the songs from your favorite Disney movie. For more information on Emerald City's 2007-2008 season, click on over to Theater in Chicago's Theater News section. Second City's comedy hit Between Barack and a Hard Place seems to be coming a hit. It is now reported to be Second City's fastest-selling show in their history. And they have a long history, as you well know. Between Barack and a Hard Place is currently playing at the Second City. For more information, click on over to Theater in Chicago's Now Playing section. And for those of you keeping track, The Pirate Queen just opened last week on Broadway to rave reviews. Now, as I'm sure many of you remember, The Pirate Queen did officially open first here in Chicago, and perhaps you were one of the audience members. Well, I'm sure the show will take New York by storm, but until then, you can always listen to our interview with star Hadley Frazier in the Talk Theater in Chicago interview archives. Well, thank you for listening to this exuberant episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. We have come to the end of the news, but before we let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from The Tragedy of Macbeth, King of Scotland, Act 2, Scene 3. Confusion now hath made his masterpiece. Well, I can't thank you enough for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode, ready to stick in your ears. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
You're listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago Review Podcast, She Stoops to Conquer, by Oliver Goldsmith, adapted and directed by William Brown at Northlight Theater in Skokie, Illinois. Review by Tom Williams. Adapter and director William Brown's imaginative concept of putting Oliver Goldsmith's classic in the American Wild West in 1890 and adding tunefully playful folk country music by Andrew Hansen with narrative cute lyrics by Doug Frew and Patty McKinney worked to render more laughs than usual. With a top A-list equity cast on Keith Pitt's functional set, She Stoops to Conquer is a polished and delightful evening of theater. Thought to be the first laughing comedy that got audiences belly laughing from its first staging in London in 1773, She Stoops to Conquer continues to please present-day audiences with its over-the-top quirky characterizations and plot twists. Place it in the American West just adds to the cornball humor. Laughs abound in this funny comedy. Goldsmith uses the character's own flaws and vices to feed his brilliant comedy. When two urbanite men become lost in the American Wild West, they become targets of trickery at the hands of a mischievous ne'er-do-well and a barmaid. The comedy spills out as the master of the manor believes young Marlowe, played by Timothy Edward Kane in his comic finest turn, to be the gentleman he is expecting to court his daughter Kate, played by the smart and sweet Kimberly Mellon. While the travelers think the place merely an inn, the other urbanite, Hastings, eyes Miss Neville, the niece of the manor's owner. Tony Lumpkin, played by the zany Steve Haggard, is Mrs. Hardcastle's son, and he is the fun-loving soul who delights in trickery. Goldsmith's wit writing is clever in its use of mistaken identity, as it spoofs the social mores of the time, as it exposes the hypocrisy of the upper class. Adding the American cowboy twist just aids the comedy. The twists and turns of the show include satire, farce, and wacky situations that produce an evening of belly laughs. The opening folk song works to win us over and sets the tone for the playfulness to follow. Matthew Brumlow, Susan Felder, and Alec Goodrich are the three guitar and banjo folk musicians and singers who greatly enhance the show with their deft tunes. This touch worked quite well. Terrific performances abound, with John Lister's Mr. Hardcastle all innocent and likable, and Steve Haggard's bright-eyed Lumpkin all manic and wild, and Dennis Grimes' Hastings all bluster and honor, and Lisa Kimbrough's Mrs. Hardcastle in a screaming mode throughout, to Timothy Edward Kane as the fumbling, contradictory, as gracious Marlowe who pines over Kimberly Mellon's deliciously devious Kate. This is tremendous ensemble acting, astutely played for all the laughs in a semi-campy, manic production that is engaging and filled with heart. She Stoops to Conquer still contains many laughs, as it once again proves that classics can be high entertainment if well acted, nicely staged, and articulated with zest. This show is fun. You'll have as much fun seeing She Stoops to Conquer as the cast is having playing this ambitious show. Kudos to Northlight Theater for such an awesome, wonderful, terrific, beautiful show. I give this a highly recommended rating. She Stoops to Conquer, by Oliver Goldsmith, adapted and directed by William Brown at Northlight Theater, located at 9501 North Skokie Boulevard in Skokie, Illinois, now running through April 29th. For tickets and more information, call 847-673-6300. Thank you very much for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Jeff Marks and Glenn Herring for giving us the honor of interviewing them this week. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And also, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode, ready for your listening pleasure. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.